I'm slightly blown away by this last guest I had on, Transformations Through Running. I'm not sure if it's the story itself, but the grace and gratefulness and attitude that she carries. And I gotta say that the Marathon Goddess is a perfect name for her. Julie Weiss lost her father to pancreatic cancer almost overnight. I couldn't imagine the things that she went through emotionally, but then to take that to the next level and feel like you have to make a change and go out and do that, she'll talk about how she planned to run 52 marathons in 52 weeks. That's right, every single week for a year. So she ran a marathon, and she planned that in 3 hours because she was so inspired. And the support that she's received and continues to receive as she sets new goals for herself to raise awareness and to raise money. This is an incredible story from a unique individual that's so kind and caring, and you'll be able to hear it in her voice. I feel like rays of sunshine will shine through the microphone into your ears throughout this conversation. She's been on CNN, Oprah, the Today Show. So humbled, so grateful that she took time out of her day to join us on this relatively new Transformations Through Running podcast. So I hope you enjoy as much as I did. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. All right, super excited to get into this interview. Before we do, just a quick word from Complete Truth Protein. This is our protein supplement we designed at True Form. Its base is made with quinoa and hemp seeds. The main purpose that we developed and designed this product is because we believe food heals, food cures, and food prevents. For me, traveling the world as a professional athlete for about 10 years, I found out very quickly that food, good quality nutrients, helped me become a better athlete. It helped me start off from high school, moving through college, university, into the professional levels, traveling around the world, and competing at a very high level. I quickly realized through doing research that most protein supplements, unfortunately, are highly toxic. So we have to pay attention to every single ingredient on the back of those containers. CTP, we call, short for Complete Truth Protein. You can throw in baking. You can put in baking. It's a very nice gluten-free flour. You can also throw it in smoothies as well, which is a great way to get nutrients into your body in a short amount of time. We have a new chocolate flavor that we're super excited about. We have one for smoothies and a product for baking. Three different kinds. If you need some details or if you want some help, check out trueformlife.com/complete-truth-protein or simply send us a message. And we'd be happy to help you out. All right, we're back on Transformations Through Running. Thanks so much for being here with us, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Yes, it's our pleasure. I'm so excited that you had some time for us today. Looks like you're doing all kinds of crazy and amazing things. Can you take a moment here just to talk to our audience and let them know who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Julie Weiss, and I'm known as the Marathon Goddess in the running community and around. I did an epic 52 marathons in 52 weeks back in 2013, which is something people know me for, and raising money for pancreatic cancer research because I lost my father to the disease. So I decided to turn my passion into a purpose and go on this crazy journey, and I haven't stopped since.
So when did you start?
Well, I actually started running about 2007, I think it was, back when I was overweight and on antidepressants, and I was a single mom. I was just kind of really, really stuck in my life, going through the motions of daily life, and I knew something was missing, but I didn't really know what it was until I found running. And so I ran my first marathon in 2008 with only a couple months of training. That was the 2008 LA Marathon. And I swore I would never do another one after that.
I've heard that before.
Right?
And then so 2008 was your first one. And then what did you do? Did you just continue to run recreationally on the side? Every once in a while you'd sign up for a race. What did that look like for you?
Well, after I ran that marathon, and I, you know, like many other runners, sometimes feel like we need to try again or redeem ourselves, even though it was a terrible, you know, you felt terrible. There was something in it that was calling you to come back and try to do a little better. But then I heard about the Boston Marathon in my running group, which was and still is the LA Roadrunners. I'm actually like with all the running groups because they're all awesome. But I heard about the Boston Marathon, and I thought, oh, I would love to qualify for that, and maybe I'll qualify in my first marathon. I had no real idea about training or what I was doing. I just thought sort of like the more marathons you ran, the faster you would get. And so I went on this mission to try to qualify for Boston, and my dad was super excited. He became my biggest fan, so it was fun because I had, you know, my number one supporter, who wasn't always my number one supporter growing up, but the running kind of brought us together, so that was really cool.
That's awesome. So what happened? Did you get the chance to qualify?
Well, I kept running and running and running more marathons, and I got to about marathon 16 or 17, I don't remember, something like that, which is when I realized I needed a coach, and I called David Levine, who many of you know. You interviewed him, happens to be my husband now. And he actually, you know, I listened to him, and I did all the training and slowed myself down because I was running at race pace, all of these marathons, all of my training, I had no idea. But in 2000, it was 2010 Long Beach Marathon, I missed qualifying for Boston by like 2 minutes. I had taken almost 25, 30 minutes off of my time, and I missed it by just 2 minutes. And I was, you know, disappointed, but not nearly as disappointed as the news I received the next day, which is when my father was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And they said that there was nothing they could do. And I'll make a long story short, but sadly he passed away just 35 days after his diagnosis. And he kept telling me, just keep training, Julie. He was going to go to CIM with me, where he was going to watch me qualify. And, you know, 10 days after he passed away, I went and ran that race. And I qualified for Boston December 5th, 2010, just 10 days after he passed away. But I knew he was there with me. And after I crossed that finish line, I thought, you know what? There's got to be something more I could do.
Wow. That's incredibly emotional. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I still get goosebumps to this day when I tell that story.
And it sounds like you've been telling it quite often at least recently.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really what it was, the catalyst to where I am now. I just began to, after my father passed away, I thought I would, you know, do something to honor him. And after I ran the Boston Marathon, I thought, okay, I ran it. Now what can I do? I've got to help these people with pancreatic cancer so that nobody has to suffer like my father did. And so that's when I decided to do something crazy.
Tell us about this craziness, because that's kind of what I want to talk about.
Well, it's crazy, crazy good. So I decided to run 52 marathons in 52 weeks. I had no idea how I was going to do it, like with the money and the travel and, you know, working a full-time job. But I was like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. Even if I have to move out back into my mom's house, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find a way. And so March 18th, 2012, the Rome Marathon, Maratona de Roma, became the first of the 52 marathons. And that marathon is actually featured in the Spirit of the Marathon too. So if you haven't checked that out, it's on Netflix, I think, something like that. So that's where it began, in Rome. And I I went to Boston. I went all over the country after that, running a marathon a week, working a full-time job and raising money to cure pancreatic cancer, and also dedicating each race that I ran to somebody affected by pancreatic cancer.
So this wasn't something that you did on your own. You didn't just go out in your neighborhood and run a marathon. You actually signed up for races every time?
Absolutely. In fact, I was so inspired by this crazy idea that I had my whole schedule picked out in like 3 hours. I went on to, marathonsguide.com or something like that. And I looked at all the marathons that I would run, and I scheduled them all out. And I had my schedule in 3 hours. I was so excited.
Oh, my gosh. Are you a planner by nature?
Not really. I mean, unless it's something that really excites me like this. You know, it was just this kind of, I don't know, it was this crazy idea, half-baked idea, they call it. But I'm not really that good at planning, actually. I'm like a last-minute person. But this, it was just as all I could think about, you know. It was this incredible adventure that I was about to go on, and I thought, I'm going to do this and nobody's going to stop me.
Have you done anything like this before?
I think in 2009 I ran, but in 2009 I ran 12 marathons in a year, and I thought that was a lot. So I knew that my body recovered fairly quickly from marathons. So that's how I knew I might be able to do something like this. I had seen one other person online who had done 52 marathons in 52 weeks, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's something I could probably do.
So I'm not sure if you're religious at all. Did you feel like this is some kind of divine intervention that you're able to come up with this idea, plan everything, and then accomplish it?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I had, you know, my dad with me. I had all of these people that I was running for with me. It was like I was running with the angels. So like, not even the fact that I was able to do it, but the fact that I was able to do it and not get injured. Yeah. I mean, wow. It's pretty crazy. I mean, I was so grateful because, you know, a stress fracture could have ended it for me. But I had a few aches and pains along the way, but nothing that stopped me. And I was also able to keep my full-time job without getting fired. So that was also another miracle.
What was the significance of the 52?
I think it was just, you know, a marathon a week for a year. So 52 weeks in a year. I thought I would do one a week. And I called that journey 52 for you. Because when I got to about marathon number 4 or 5, I realized that, you know, these marathons were challenging. And but I needed some more depth to it. I thought, you know what, I'm going to start reaching out to people with pancreatic cancer so that I can meet them, so I can run with them, so I can get to know their families and help to raise hope in this pancreatic cancer community. Let people know that, you know, we can get closer to the cure. You can survive this disease. There are more and more survivors every day, so it doesn't have to be a death sentence. And that's the beautiful part of this journey, that it wasn't about me. This is about the people that I'm running for and all these people that I met along the way, which is the best part about it.
Could you give us a few details of what pancreatic cancer is?
It's a very hard cancer to diagnose, is why it is so lethal. Because it's normally by the time the doctors find out what it is, it's already, you know, in a stage 4 situation like my dad. But some people are lucky and can diagnose it early. But the symptoms are very just like everyday symptoms, like, oh, you have a backache or you have a stomach ache. You know, it's really hard to detect. My dad thought he just had acid reflux, and so did the doctors, and they sent him home with some antacid medication. You know, it's in the pancreas, it's deep in there, so it's very hard to diagnose. But they're making progress. They are making progress. When I started running back in 2012, it was a 5% survival rate after 5 years. Now it's doubled to 10%, so that's good. And I always say this is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, we're not going to cure it overnight, which I hope we do, but you have to just keep going. But that's where the marathon is so symbolic of, you know, of something, a journey like this, because it's just one foot in front of the other, and you get closer to the cure every day as long as you keep going and you don't give up.
So when you were raising money, you raised quite a bit of money. Is that something you're sure?
Yes, absolutely. Through all of the charities that I've run for, I've raised nearly $640,000 to date, which is incredible, and I'm grateful for every single dollar that people have donated. And it's, you know, we've done a lot of good. We've funded a lot of research grants, and currently I'm running with the Hirschberg training team, and it's called the Hirschberg Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer, which is one of the official charities for the LA Marathon. They're the only pancreatic cancer charity for the LA Marathon, and they're here in LA. They're local. And as soon as I found out about them and how they're affiliated with the LA Marathon, I was like, I know, I have to run with them.
So when you say you run with them, what does that mean?
Or run for them. I mean, they do have a Hirschberg training team, which is awesome. If people want to join the training team and raise money as you train for the LA Marathon, it's called the Hirschberg Training Team, or just support the charity, the Hirschberg Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer Research. They do have some other events like the Tour de Pier, which is a spinning event. They have one in Manhattan Beach. I think that's in May, and then they did one in Seattle, and they're also having a pop-up Tour de Pier at mile 21 of the LA Marathon. They're going to have about 26 bikes for each mile. People are going to go there, and you don't have to run the marathon. You can just get on a bike and, you know, and support the runner, support the charity. There's something, everybody can do something, and it doesn't have to be a marathon. It doesn't have to be 52 marathons, but I believe we could all pitch in and do something to help us move closer to the cure.
What's your job, if you don't mind me asking? What's your occupation?
I do real estate, accounting for commercial real estate, and my boss has been so generous. I think he's donated probably half of the money that I've raised. So he's very, very supportive, and I appreciate that, and I'm very grateful to have his support and to have that job. And it enables me to pay the bills and run more marathons.
Yeah, just curious to know what kind of, it's really nice to have that support and to have a flexible, occupation or a flexible job where they kind of support what you're doing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they do. As long as I get my work done. I mean, I almost lost it during the 52 full marathons, but gladly I kept it alive.
So, was there a point during those 52 weeks where you're like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be able to finish. Is there any time that you had that doubt in your mind, or was that a weekly doubt?
That's a great question. I was so inspired when I was doing these marathons that there was no question. I was going to finish this no matter what. I mean, there's some things that came up along the way that, you know, caused me to change my schedule, to adjust. I had to run a double marathon here, a triple marathon there to get it done. But I was like, there's no way. Some people are like, you don't have to run the 52 marathons. You can do like 49. I'm like, no, that is not a thing. I set out to do this, and I'm going to do it. And there was a couple days where I'm like, you know, those double marathons, I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But when you're doing something that's bigger than yourself, that is like what gets you out there. And those people that you're running for, that is what gets you going. You get up no matter what. I mean, cancer doesn't take a day off, so neither can I. That was my mindset for that year. And then I did it again, sort of.
Tell us about the next one you did.
Well, last year, I set out to do another 52 races in 52 weeks. I realized I wanted to do something. We are getting closer to the cure, but we still don't have a cure. And I wanted to do something like running another 52 marathons, I thought at first, but then I was like, yeah, no way. I'm older now. It's been about, 7 years, and I'm a grandma. I'm going to be 50 next month. I'm like, maybe I'll do 52 5Ks. And then I decided, no, I'm going to do 52 races, like all different distances. That way, I can do different races. And then I thought, how about I call this journey 52 races for 52 faces? Because it rhymes and it works, because that means every race that I run, I will dedicate to somebody affected by pancreatic cancer, like I did with the marathons. But this time I was working really closely with the charity and some of these people that I dedicated races to, but also fundraise, and some of the families would come out to my races, and we had that during the 52 marathons, but this time I had some more help, and I'm so grateful, so grateful, because I needed it. I needed it. I get tired easier now. So, but here I am. I mean, I just finished race number 51 yesterday. I did about probably 25 or so half marathons, about 4 full marathons, and some 10Ks and 5Ks. But when I do race number 52, the LA Marathon next week, that will be my 109th lifetime marathon.
Oh, my gosh. That is crazy just to hear that number.
Right?
Wow. Okay, so let me ask you, how do you decide who gets or who you run for?
So the charity made this beautiful website called 52 Races for 52 Faces.com. And during this whole year, I would, promote the website and tell people where to go. There's like a form that you can fill out if you want to dedicate a race to somebody or yourself or, a loved one. And we got a lot of requests, and I think we gave a lot of people hope, a lot of people happiness to honor their loved ones who maybe they've lost, and give them hope and keep their loved ones' memory alive, or even supercharge those survivors that are surviving and give them extra strength to keep going. So the more awareness we raise, the better. And we did a good thing. I think this journey alone was about $100,000 that we raised, part of the 640. So that was a good year.
That's amazing. Is it got to be expensive to run the races? How does that work?
Well, some of the races, like A Better World Running, which I did a lot of my races at, they're smaller races, but they're awesome people that run it. And so they gave me all their races free. A couple of the marathons in Hawaii, they gave me free races and sometimes free airfare. Because, we're doing it for a great cause, and they see that. And some of the money has come out of my own pocket. Some of the money the charity has sponsored, because we've raised above and beyond what some of the expenses were. But it's kind of been a village. We all did it together.
Yeah, it's so nice to have help, especially when you're putting in so much time and effort. My gosh, just to get up and like mentally be like, there's another race coming up. And after you finish that one, there's another one after that. I don't know how you do it mentally. What is it like mentally to know that there's no end for within that year? It seems like it's never ending.
That's a good question, because this time, like I said, it was harder. Even though they weren't full marathons, I get really, like, I don't sleep that great all the time now, and it's really hard when you get older when you don't sleep. So sometimes I don't sleep well. But I get up and I do these races because I've got people counting on me. So they have, not only do I help them by honoring their loved one, but they help me and get me up and get me moving. And so we're in this together, you know, so there's never like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get up and run this race together today because I know that there's people counting on me. And so once I'm out there, I'm fine. I'm fine. And once I finish, I'm great. I'm even, you know, one step closer, but it hasn't been easy. I mean, there's been some torrential downpours and some frigid cold weather that I had to endure and, you know, getting the flu, and, you know, flight delays back and forth, you know, across the country sometimes. But I always say that all of this stuff is nothing compared to what the people who are battling pancreatic cancer go through. So these little things that I have to go through, it's like, it just puts it all in perspective, you know?
Yeah. Very cool. Do you have anything coming up in the future or after LA? Are you going to nap for a week or two? I hope you can keep your job.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, This journey has not only like inspired a lot of people to start running and start running marathons, but it also inspired me to be like, hey, maybe I can become a better runner as well. You know, so I started to train. I started to use some of these races as like training for the LA Marathon, hoping that I could get faster and faster. And I've always wanted to qualify for Boston one more time. So I do have another marathon coming up after LA, which is maybe a month after, and I'll see how I feel if I want to try to go for a BQ at that race. And then I will retire.
Did you, what's that lady's name? They call her the, she ran the Boston. She was the first woman.
Catherine Switzer.
Catherine, thank you. I interviewed her on my other show, Exploring Mind and Body. And I think she just ran another one at 70. She ran Boston at 70, I think.
She is incredible. In fact, she wrote the foreword to my book.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Catherine is a huge inspiration to me. She is my hero. I mean, I won't stop running marathons. I will continue to run, but the racing part of it, you know, when you're doing it for a time, it becomes very taxing and challenging. But I love to get out there and I love to run. With her charity, which is called 261 Fearless, that was the number she was wearing when she ran Boston that day and nearly got kicked out of the race. 261, that was a bib number. So she has a charity called 261 Fearless, and she's amazing. So, you know, I'll continue to run with charities and, you know, her charity and continue to inspire the running community and people who, you know, the pancreatic cancer community. I'll never stop raising money and awareness for pancreatic cancer. But, you know, I'm a grandma and I have two little granddaughters and I want to, like, do kids runs, you know, like a mile.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that'd be pretty cool to run with your grandkids.
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited about.
What did you tell me about recovery in between? Is there anything that you did specifically, or are you superhuman?
I think that's the part of my my journey that's so relatable to people is that I'm not superhuman. You know, when I started running, I was overweight and I was you know, depressed and but during the 52 marathons in 52 weeks, that was different because that was all about getting to the next start line healthy. And so in between those marathons, I did not run unless I had an interview or something. They were filming for the movie and they wanted me to run. I'm like, dude, I just ran a marathon yesterday. And they're like, that's okay. Could you give me one more? But it was all about stretching, recovery. You know, I had basically a year of taper. You know, David was incredible. He's an incredible support system to have with me that year and this year. But that year was all about just staying injury-free and getting to the next start line. And this time around, you know, because it was a race, not always a marathon, I tried to incorporate actually more miles. So during the week this time around, you know, I continued to train. Like, it's, I was training for LA, so even after one of my races, I would, like, run another 5 miles or something to get that volume up there, because I was trying to get faster and faster. But you got to cut, like, I have to cut myself some slack, because we are just human, you know, and it takes a lot of energy when every week is race week. So, so for LA, you know, I'll do my best as far as the time is concerned, but that's really not the goal here. The goal here is to continue to raise the awareness and the funds for the charity and to cure pancreatic cancer. And, you know, maybe, like I said, after the LA marathon, I'll do one more for time. And we'll see.
Do you look at, is nutrition something that's important to you, or is that kind of on the back burner?
Nutrition is a huge part of it, especially as we get older. It's so important to eat well, feel good. I can definitely feel the difference when I'm not eating good. I try to eat as clean as I can, but I'm, again, not perfect. I do, I watch what I eat. I'm mostly vegan, but I don't deprive myself. I mean, if there's a birthday, I'm going to have some cake, you know, and I think everybody, you know, I think that's okay. You know, you have to do moderation. Moderation is good, but just be very conscious of what you're eating, because we all know what's good for us and what's not. I mean, I find when I eat something heavy or fatty that I don't feel good after, and then my race is harder. And so you eat things that will bring you closer to your goal, or to make you feel good and live longer and, you know, feel and shine.
Yeah, when you said you're mostly vegan, what does that mean? You have meat once in a while, or?
No, it's the cheese that's got so much fat in it that I should not be eating. And I don't think it's good for me. I don't feel good after I eat it. And I have to say that a big part of people with, you know, pancreatic cancer diagnosis is diet. I think diet is a huge part of it. I think if people would, you know, listen to their moms and eat more vegetables, like, you know, we would do better. Because, I mean, sadly, my father had a poor diet. He ate a lot of meat, a lot of processed sugar. My grandfather, same thing. They both passed away from pancreatic cancer. So I might have the gene. I don't know. So it's very important to, you know, get those greens in, get your body to a place where it can run efficiently and turn off those cancer cells, and do everything you can to keep your body running smoothly. And I've seen a correlation between diabetes and pancreatic cancer. So diet becomes very, very important if we want to live our best life.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I'm a big fan of plant-based eating and nutrition. We always say nutritionizing your body properly. So 100%. Can you tell us about your book? You mentioned it briefly, but I'd love to hear more about it.
Absolutely. In fact, I have two books now. My memoir was released last year, called 52 Weeks, 52 Marathons, The Miles and Trials of a Marathon Goddess. And if you go on Amazon, you can just type in Marathon Goddess, you'll find it. And it's chronicles my, it's not just about the 52 marathons, it's a memoir, basically. Wrote about, you know, my childhood and what brought me to running and what happened before and what happened after. And there's also some great tips in there for people who kind of want to kickstart their own lives or do a crazy journey like this, which I don't recommend. But it's a great book. It's got 5-star reviews on Amazon right now, and co-written by John Hance, who is an editor and writer for Runner's World, New York Times, and Kelly Allie Nolan, who was also a co-writer and editor at Runner's World. So both writers, we all collaborated on this. And people just seem to really, really love it. So I'm very, very happy how it came out. And it's an inspiring read. And people tell me that they signed up for marathons after they read my book. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Okay, you can blame me if you run one, but if you do sign up for another one, that's not my fault. But it's great. I heard people are really enjoying it. So that makes me happy. I mean, if you inspire one person, you've done your job, really.
I love that mindset, because when we run our own business and I talk to entrepreneurs often, and everyone wants more fans or followers or subscribers, whatever it is, but it's challenging to have that mindset. But I really like that. I really like Seth Godin. He says, minimal viable audience. How can you make a difference through a small community of people? And that's going to change their life instead of trying to reach the millions and the masses.
Absolutely. That's totally right. Yeah. I mean, it's just like inspiration is contagious, you know? You just start within your community, and the word kind of gets out, you know? It's just about helping. It's just about helping people. No matter how many. You help one or two, you're good, you know? But then again, I want to help children as well. Start them small. And I wrote a little children's book called We Got This that just launched last week. And so now I have the memoir for the parents, and I have the little children's book for kids who kind of want to, do something that they love and follow their passion and their dreams and help people. Shows you how you can give back, you know, how kids can do what they love and they can help people at the same time, and how much fun it is. So I think that one's really cute. I wrote it for my granddaughters, and I'm actually going to start going around to schools and reading it to other kids, and it's fun.
Sounds like you're super busy. And then I know you're going on to some mainstream media as well. Or you have been. You have been, or you are going to?
I am. I mean, this week coming up with the LA Marathon, we've got an interview with KTLA. I don't know what else is going to happen this coming week. I was very, very grateful to have a lot of media, you know, with my 52 marathons in 52 weeks and beyond when I ran my 100th marathon. I mean, we really got the word out. I mean, we were on the Today Show, CNN, Oprah's magazine. I mean, it was like really incredible how, this is one of my favorite quotes. Like, I made it. Like, I wrote it, but I always say, when you do what you love for someone you love, that's when the miracles happen. And, you know, everything this journey has brought has been a miracle. You know, it's just with the money that we've raised, with the people that we've helped, the fact that I was able to finish all these marathons, and the kind of awareness that we got was just a miracle, really, truly. And I'm grateful for it all.
That's amazing. Julie, is there anything that we missed before we wrap things up?
I think we just about covered it all. I think, you know, if you're inspired to go see the movie Spirit of the Marathon 2, a lot of people like that, available on Netflix. And then both of my books, We Got This and The Miles and Trials of the Marathon Goddess, are available on Amazon. And I think that it's just really important, like my husband says, is to have fun, whatever you're doing in life. If you're not having fun, go back, figure out why you're not, and then come back and have fun. That's rule number one. And, you know, do something that you love and share that love with other people. And you never know who you're inspiring.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. This is such a fantastic interview. I know you're super busy and you have so much going on. You're helping so many people. So thank you for taking the time to be here with us and joining me on the show today. I'm so grateful.
Oh, I am too. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And also, my website is marathongoddess.com if you want to purchase a signed copy of my book or see all of the races that we've run. And the other one is 52 Races for 52 Faces, if you want to see all of the people that I ran for, all the beautiful faces. And anyways, it's been an honor. I really appreciate your time, and thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Absolutely amazing interview and what Julie's doing for the running community and pancreatic cancer. Wow. Thank you so much, Julie, for joining us. If you get a chance to listen to this, so grateful for you to come on and share your story with us. I hope you guys get a chance to check out one of her few books she's got going on. Maybe the Netflix video or movie she's got going on there as well. Super cool. I'm definitely going to do some extra research coming up here. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for sticking around till the end and listening to that. I know a lot of you are in the running community. I get a chance to see a handful of you throughout the week running in different groups and different days. So always appreciate seeing you guys out there in person. And it means so much. It really does. Especially when you offer feedback and tell me that you've been listening or been enjoying the show. If you guys are a bit further away and you'd like to follow us, or even if you're closer here, you'd like to follow us on social media, we put up a couple posts a day, usually around nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, trying to help you stay fit and active and healthy. Facebook.com/TrueFormLife. We post a couple times a day there. We're also on Instagram.com/DrewTadia. So we put up some story posts. We put up some pictures throughout the week. We have a new contest coming up. We have contests every once in a while. So that's definitely something you can be involved in. We'll have to follow along, though, so you know what's going on and when. All past shows are going up on TrueFormLife.com. This is also where you can find our protein supplement, Complete Truth Protein. It's 100% vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, GMO-free. We got all the major allergies covered. This will help you improve your digestion and increase energy. It's great to get you prepped and ready for before a run. We have complex carbs and healthy fats to get you fueled properly, not just throughout the day, but throughout your run as well. So it's definitely something you can consider if you're looking to take your nutrition to the next level. We're always here for support, so feel free to shoot us a message or follow us along. Let us know that you've been checking out the show. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and hope to catch you on the next show.